Michigan's Upper Peninsula is my home and Escanaba is my hometown. I'm Craig Warple. Hometown Escanaba connects with the people, activities, and newsmakers of Escanaba and the UP. Join us for more interviews at hometownescanaba.com. Now let's find out what's going on. Joining us this morning is Jake Halbertus, superintendent of the Gladstone and Rapid River Schools. Thank you so much for calling in this morning. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Glad to be available and have this time to chat.
Yeah. You went through your budget yesterday with your meeting here with Gladstone. Budget change number one. You usually go through three of them a year, right?
We usually do, and this is about the time when historically we would be doing budget amendment two. Typically, in November or December, we can do budget amendment one because, you know, we're factoring in, let's say, the new state budget or our student count or, you know, or contract, stuff like that. Although we did just now factor all of those moving parts in, there's been so many, I guess, different little grant applications and things that were funded but not explained, and those pools of money weren't open. So there's so many moving parts at the state and federal level, really up through December, that it took most of January just to really fine-tune everything so we can get a pretty clear picture of where we're at.
Does that mean that the budget was put together a little bit more closely or follows what your actual expenses were? Because usually you make those changes when you find out what your expenses are going to be that are different from the budget.
Right. So we do factor in all of our expense changes, but this was a whole lot of revenue changes as well. We did $1 million worth of revenue changes in Gladstone.
Wow.
We never done that before in a budget amendment one or a budget amendment two. It's just that at this point, all of the non-expended COVID funds expire this upcoming summer. So everything has to be allocated and expensed. So it just creates a whole lot of ins and outs.
You ended up with $1 million more than you anticipated?
Oh, no. It was all anticipated because those numbers have been known now for a while. But if it's not allocated and spent, then it just gets returned to the state. So rather than do that, then you have to fold it into some of your current expenses and keep some of your general fund money in the bank.
Okay.
So it's certainly a huge net gain for both districts. That was the same process that Gladstone and Rapid River were going through.
When it is the COVID money that you're talking about, that's for projects rather than operation?
Essentially, yes. Obviously, you can spend it for a lot of operational things. It's just you don't want to get too far down the road and create those habits because, like I said, this money expires in September. So if it's been, you know, paying your heating bill or your electric bill, then you've got to find general fund money for that for next year. So we've been really, really careful. If it's going into anything that's operational or, you know, labor and personnel, that we've got those backfills already lined up.
What are you going to be spending that money on this season here? An example.
You know, we've got what we've got lined up with that we're looking to continue to or get second or third bids on. For example, upgrading our door fob system. We're most the way through our transition from the old-fashioned lock and key to an electronic version of the fob and the lock so that if a fob gets lost, it can be turned off. If someone changes jobs, and we don't have to worry about getting the key back. Again, it's just a whole lot easier to manage the fob system. Also makes it easier for your vendors, so makes things a whole lot safer to go that route. That's a relatively big project that we're working on. Another relatively big project is upgrading called Building Automation System. It's all of the digital controls for our for our heating. Because we've put these systems in and kind of cobbled them together over time, the ones that were put in first are now obsolete. The ones that were put in second are on their last legs. The ones that are put in third are the ones we want to now upgrade the rest of the system to. So it's a whole lot of planning because all of the systems have to overlap. You want to be able to control them from a standalone system so that our operations personnel don't have to be at a particular workstation. All of those things are pretty big projects as well.
It's a never-ending battle.
A lot of good things. Yeah, it really is. I mean, and it's all good problems to have because these are things that have been in our long-range plan, and to be able to now pick away at some of these substantial, you know, these are big projects, you know, could be close to $250,000 just on each of these projects. So those are big items that are in the works and in the plans and really already have the revenue for.
You also like to keep an eye on what's going on at the state level as far as education budget.
Yeah, you really have to do that in order to make sure, you know, you're in the best position to take advantage of state funds when they become accessible and also to align with the state priorities. What we heard from the governor's State of the State, again, was preschool, at-risk, some CTE, and really a bigger push for community college. Then taking a look at the executive budget that came out, interesting to see how those things are probably going to align. Again, we don't know 100% till we see a state and a House budget. State budget could come out essentially any time, but really probably in the next month. It'll probably be another 2 months before we see anything out of the House. But really trying to align, especially with the preschool piece, because we don't have a lot of space. So trying to get creative in how to make space in order to facilitate offering our own preschool. And again, looking to continue our partnership with Bay College. We probably had over 100 students this past year taking dual enrollment courses, let's say 140, 150 different courses, and they're all doing exceptionally well. We've got a solid working relationship and a model that works. It's trying to figure out how to get that next maybe 20% of our kids who just don't feel like they're ready. We think they are, and that's going to be kind of the state target. Isn't the, you know, let's say 50 to 60% of our kids who already know they can be successful. It's that next 20 to 25% who are really anxious and worried. And how do we build a system that builds the bridge for them to get to community college as well?
Were Gladstone and Rapid River not offering a preschool program, or was it just limited?
We have a preschool program at Rapid that is the Head Start program, but the school itself doesn't run a standalone program like a GSRP. So we house the Head Start right there at Rapid. In Gladstone, we used to have preschool up until maybe, I want to say 10 or 12 years ago. And then because Grace's preschool was so popular and right there across the street, we just, when we went to all day, every day kindergarten, we absorbed that space, that preschool space for kindergarten space.
So this is going to be a major deal for you to have to handle this.
Really, it is. There's a whole lot of moving parts. We've already been talking about, are there some ripples that we want to make sure happen? Are there some ripples that we want to make sure don't happen? So a lot of conversation are in the works on how to do this, make it really seamless for parents, make Cameron more of the one-stop shop, and then take a look at, is there a way for us to, in doing this, also address some of our parking issues? Again, so we're taking more bites out of more apples as we try to anticipate how we're going to meet this need. Because there certainly is a growing need for preschool in the area.
If I remember correctly, you just renovated Cameron a little bit, right?
It was 12 years ago that we added a wing.
12 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. Time flies.
I guess so. So are you going to be able to do, is it going to be required by this fall, do you think, or if the funding goes through or the bills go through, or would it be the following year?
That's what we're hoping to be ready for. So that's why we're spending a lot of time talking about it now and then doing whatever work we need to do this summer to facilitate this.
Do you get an idea how many students that might be in addition to what you have?
Right. At this point, if we, you know, typically you've got, you know, 12 to 14 students in a classroom. So if we freed up two classrooms, we're looking at, you know, close to 25 more spots for preschoolers.
In Gladstone, right.
In Gladstone.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you have to do something beyond Head Start then for Rapid River?
We would like to do a GSRP program there. You know, the Head Start is really geared towards a certain socioeconomic demographic, and then GSRP is quite a bit wider than that. So it would offer preschool to a whole lot more Rapid River parents who currently have to look for other options.
Is there a benefit to offering preschool to the kids? What's the benefit there?
The huge benefit is the connection you make with parents, and then making sure you have the ability to make sure all of these kids are ready for kindergarten. It used to be kindergarten got them ready for actual first grade, but man, we're doing so much more teaching in kindergarten than 15 years ago.
Sure.
That we just want to do a better job of getting more kids ready.
We certainly have had a different winter than most winters this year. Do you get a savings, not only on heat, but maybe snow removal or other things like that?
Sure. Heat, snow removal, not really electricity because we're open as long. But, you know, it seems like the days aren't nearly as dark. But, yes, there's this kind of ripple effect when you get such a mild winter. There's a whole lot of things that you can roll into savings that you may or may not know. Yeah, we're ordering a one pallet less of salt that needs to be spread. You know, there's no additional hours of snow removal. Everything's at its base level.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I mean, the cost of heating has been astronomically low this year compared to other years. You know, so then you just you worry, you know, is something going to happen in March to diesel fuel? I noticed it kind of spiked up here during February at that. It's probably the highest it's been all year. Is that going to be maintained, or are we going to see that come down? I don't really have a good handle on why our diesel fuel costs are up right now. Doesn't always seem to follow a logical pattern. So we'll just have to, again, we've got that covered. We've built that into the budget, mm-hmm. but if things are protracted and go into longer, then yeah, it'll eat into some of the savings that we're seeing right now. But certainly by this point, it isn't going to make a huge difference.
Well, we'll see what March brings, right?
Correct.
Jake Albertus is superintendent of the Gladstone and Rapid River Schools. Appreciate your time with us this morning. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Take care.
Thank you for listening. A special thanks to our sponsor, SwedishPimple.com. Check out all of the fishing lures made right here in the Upper Peninsula at SwedishPimple.com. You can continue to follow us at HometownEscanaba.com. We connect with the people, activities, and newsmakers from Escanaba and Michigan's Upper Peninsula.